Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Chris Hattings, project manager for the Free Market Foundations, this morning, joining us to talk about a very strange, I think, a very strange regulation that seems to have snuck in to our books. Consumers could bear the brunt of the cost with the localization policy inside. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Much for having me on, and good morning to the listeners.
So it's indeed a great pleasure. Just tell us what this regulation is all about.
So localization as a policy is generally put out by the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, but other government departments can put it out as well. So we have these localization master plans, and in different industries, 42 products have been identified for localization. So in a nutshell, this is sort of big government industrial policy where government thinks they've identified gaps where too many products in certain areas are imported, and they want to make sure that South Africa starts to produce these things on our own. So it's very sort of central planning, very feelers of the state in every industry. Mm. I mean, to just give you two examples, there's mentions of wedding dresses that need to be locally produced, and also certain versions of jam. I can't remember. It might be peach jam is one of them, but it just goes to that sort of level of minute.
It's like the most random thing in the whole world. Wedding dresses and peach.
Can you repeat that?
I said it's just so random. Wedding dresses and peach jam.
Well, last year we banned open-toed shoes and cooked chicken.
Well, it's true. It's true. We have done some weird things in our time. Maybe that's what defines us as South Africans. I don't know.
So the rhetoric in which localization is couched is that it wants to create more jobs locally. Government is worried about supply chains. Of course, over the last year with COVID and lockdowns, we saw supply chains around the world under a lot of strain. So some of the intentions I would try and give government credit for, they want supply chains to be more robust in South Africa. They want South Africa to manufacture more and produce more. But I don't think this is really the right way to go about it.
What would be the right way to go about it? How do we balance this whole concept of competitiveness, free market, whilst encouraging people to buy local?
Right. So I think trade is inherently always a difficult and emotional topic, because people are worried about, you know, jobs, quote unquote, leaving the country. For example, we see this in sort of populist movements around the world where they use that justification to justify protectionism and sort of isolating themselves from the rest of the world. But I think trade ideally is win-win. Individuals trade with each other, both locally and around the world. It's not governments trading with each other. So when I, for example, choose to buy something from overseas because it's cheaper, I then have more money to maybe spend on better education for my kids, or I can invest it, or I can spend it in other ways locally. But central planners can't really plan for all these individual decisions that we make every day. I would rather say that a better way to ensure more robust supply chains and more manufacturing locally is for government to pursue policies that would encourage foreign direct investment and also just encourage skills development. So government can definitely get experts from the rest of Africa, from overseas, to come and work in South Africa. They can invest in skills programs. It doesn't just have to be at university, because we know how expensive university is. It can be at technicons, that kind of thing, helping with engineering, upskilling electricians, all that kind of stuff. I think that's a much better approach than sort of dictating, you know, for the next year or two, we're going to only have these products manufactured locally. This will have a big ripple effect on South African businesses, small businesses, which are already struggling and now have to contend with these sorts of permits and licensing and going through more bureaucratic red tape. And there'll be a negative effect on consumers, because it will raise the price through duties and tariffs of cheaper imported goods.
The other part of the other problem is, and I noticed this when I was in the commodity industry, when there was this move by some of the players to ban the export, for example, of chrome, because they wanted to beneficiate it in South Africa. So what that did was, for the bigger guys that already had furnaces, who had the money as well to lobby government, it became an important thing, because what it did was knock out all of the other competitors. The problem, of course, was there that the government couldn't supply electricity. But what that did was destabilize an industry, and give advantage to people who had the money and the connections to fight something that was completely untenable in the first place. So it really does give a very unfair advantage. When you look at the examples that you give, the randomness sometimes isn't so random, because it's actually just about influence. So, right. And I would imagine that is something that you see fairly often.
No, I think you're exactly on the money to highlight this. It's a big concern about who exactly was in the room when these master plans were designed. Mm. I mean, I stand under correction here, so anyone can, correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't yet sort of seen minutes or recordings of some of the master plan meetings, who was in the discussion, what was decided, what was discussed, according to what sort of standard. So even, one can debate localization sort of ideologically, morally, philosophically, but even just practically, the process thus far hasn't been ideal. If there was more transparency and objective measurements, one could try and understand some of the reasoning behind it, why some things are done, why others are not. You pointed to the commodities example. South Africa has been experiencing, been reaping the benefits of the commodities boom, but that's going to run out at some point. And before that, we need to make sure that we have the right policies in place, that we actually have growth. We can't just sort of ride the wave, implement a basic income grant, for example, and just spend, and it not be sustainable for the next 20 to 50 years.
Mm. So what is the way forward here?
So, I mean, this is a big wish, as it were, but I would encourage government to just freeze the localization plans for the time being, communicate more with all players, so small, medium, and big corporates. No, don't just get the big corporates in the room and get their support, but play, sort of get all South Africans in the room, put the localization plans on pause for the meantime, focus on strengthening and protecting property rights, and perhaps most importantly, focus on improving the performance of South Africa's ports. According to an index released earlier this year, our ports are some of the worst performing in the world, and that just means less imports and exports either way, whether we get localization going or not, in whatever form. So we need to get our ports back on track, and that requires some sort of private skills development and investment. There is, I mean, again, to give the government some credit, there is talk of privatizing, quote unquote, the Ports Authority, the Transnet Ports Authority, and getting some investment. So let's see if that's implemented and what the details are, if that investment is allowed to sort of work its best and ensure there's competition to improve the services in our ports.